The headlines this hour, the United Nations hails Iraq's parliamentary elections as orderly and well-organized. Nigeria put security forces on red alert after more than 100 people are killed in a new outburst of sectarian violence. And reports say Saudi security forces have launched a major crackdown on civil rights activists. You're watching World News here on Press TV. Our top story this hour, the top UN envoy to Iraq, Ad Melkert, has praised Sunday's parliamentary elections in the country as well-planned and orderly. Meanwhile, the chairman of Iraq's Independent High Electoral Commission, or IHEC, Faraj al-Haydari, called on all candidates and political parties to accept the results of the vote. This is former Iraqi Prime Minister Iyad Alawi, who has been accused of being under Saudi Arabia's influence, questioned IHEC's performance. Alawi called for a probe into the vote count. Some 6,000 candidates vied for 325 seats in parliament. Nearly 19 million people were eligible to vote. Vote counting is underway in more than 50,000 polling stations across Iraq. Partial results are not expected to be released sooner than Thursday, with full results expected on March the 18th.
Election day in Baghdad began with several attacks that killed dozens of people. However, voter turnout gradually increased throughout the day as more than 1,750 poll stations in the capital opened their doors to receive the voters. Despite the violence, there were long queues of voters at polling stations in a number of cities. The people who attended the ballots turned the voting process into a celebration, as many of Iraqis were congratulating each other on having the chance to play a role in forming their new government and shaping a brighter future for their country.
The terrorist attacks did not stop us from voting in these elections.
The security was tight in all Iraqi cities, as more than 500,000 Iraqi security personnel were deployed throughout the country. Polls closed at 1700 local time, but people already in line were allowed to cast their votes. After that, the security forces blocked the routes leading to the polling stations as a preparation to transfer the ballot boxes to counting centers.
The election security plan is flawless and the interference of the U.S. troops is not needed.
The international observers praised the efforts of the Independent High Electoral Commission in organizing the elections across the country.
Well, first of all, I think these elections are indeed a very good step for Iraq moving forward to hopefully a better period in its political life. There are problems in every election. There's problems here. People who come have not found their names in the registry. Sometimes that's their problem because they haven't updated their information. But I think generally speaking, the elections are going quite well.
Despite the attacks, Iraq's Independent Electoral Commission said only 2 of 50,000 polling stations across the country had been closed for a short period due to security concerns. The current parliamentary elections is the second election to be held since the U.S.-led invasion back in 2003. Candidates from various factions were vying for 325 parliamentary seats, with some 19 million Iraqis eligible to vote.
Usama Albati, Press TV, from the Iraqi capital, Baghdad.
Well, over 100 people have been killed in the latest round of violence in Nigeria. Witnesses and a government official say clashes broke out between pastoralists and villagers near the city of Jos. Most of those killed were women and children. The pastoralists reportedly used machetes to attack the villagers. Acting President Goodluck Jonathan has put security forces in central Nigeria on red alert. He has ordered troops to hunt down those behind the violence. The town of Jos has been a hotbed of religious violence in recent years. In January, more than 550 Muslims were killed in ethnic clashes near Jos. France has claimed the biggest haul of pirates off Somalia. French military says it sees 35 pirates in the waters of the Indian Ocean. Spanish forces participating in the European Atlanta anti-piracy helped France in the interception operation. The seizure took place in one of the busiest shipping lanes in the world, where piracy has long been a threat to international transit. Tension is mounting in Togo as security forces fire tear gas to disperse hundreds of opposition demonstrators protesting the results of Thursday's presidential vote. The following video contains images of flash photography. The main defeated candidate, Jean-Pierre Fabre, was at the protest along with nearly 300 of his supporters. The opposition has vowed daily protests in the wake of the re-election of President Faure Gnassingbé. The opposition claims the vote was rigged in Gnassingbé's favor. Gnassingbé first came to power in 2005. Post-election clashes then claimed the lives of between 400 to 500 people. Guinea's military junta has finally set a date for a presidential poll more than a year after imposing military rule in the country. The country's interim leader has signed a decree setting June the 27th as a date for the poll. Military rule was imposed in Guinea just hours after the death of longtime ruler Lansana Conte in December 2008. The leader of the coup, Captain Moussa Dadis Camara, is being treated in Burkina Faso after he was seriously wounded in an assassination attempt late last year. A Saudi human rights group says the country's security forces have detained more than 50 people in the northern province of Al Qassim. The arrests are mainly targeted youths, adolescents, and entire families in some cases. Among those detained by the Interior Ministry is the son of one of the founders of the Saudi Civil and Political Rights Association. The group says he was a member of the youth movement that has been calling for constitutional reforms in the kingdom. According to the rights group, the Interior Ministry General Investigation Directorate has repeatedly harassed him before he was detained. Saudi Arabia has arrested thousands of people over the past years. Many of them still remain jailed without charge. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has made an announced visit to the southern town of Majah in the Helmand province. It's Karzai's first visit since the town was retaken from the Taliban militants in a massive operation by Afghan and foreign forces. During the visit, town elders expressed outrage over civilian casualties and arrests of local people by Western forces. They also complained that schools had been turned into bases for foreign troops. 12 civilians were killed last month during the operation. NATO said two rockets fired at militants missed their target and hit the victim's house. Meanwhile, NATO has announced the death of three more of its soldiers in southern Afghanistan. NATO says one of the soldiers was killed in an exchange of gunfire in the Helmand province, while the other died in an explosion in the same region. A third soldier died in a gunfire in the east of the country. The nationality of the soldiers has been withheld. This year's foreign deaths in Afghanistan stand at 117. NATO says it has laid out plans to get rid of the militancy over the next year so foreign troops can begin to withdraw. However, Afghan and NATO officials both say progress is being slowed by militant-led violence. There seem to be conflicting reports about the arrest of an Al-Qaeda spokesman in Pakistan. Pakistani security officials claim U.S.-born Adam Ghadan had been captured in Karachi. However, U.S. officials say they have no indication of this. Ghadan has appeared in a number of Al-Qaeda videos encouraging attacks on Western targets. 4 years ago, he was charged with treason and providing material support to terrorists. The U.S. government has offered a $1 million reward for his arrest. The charge of treason carries a maximum penalty of death. Moving on now, Iran has introduced a new domestically manufactured cruise missile that will significantly improve the deterrence capabilities of the Iranian armed forces. Our Tehran reporter has more.
Iran's defense minister cuts the ribbon, inaugurating the mass production line for what it defines as one of the most accurate naval missiles ever built in the country. The Nasr is the latest anti-vessel device built by Iran's defense industries during a two-year research period.
Through its mass production, this missile will considerably add to the defense capability of the naval forces of Iran's Revolutionary Guards and the army to protect our sea borders.
The Nasr Victory is a short-range cruise missile that can be launched from both inland bases and offshore military vessels. According to Iran's defense ministry, the Nasr radar evading cruise is completely homemade. Each one of these missiles are capable of destroying a 3,000-ton vessel at sea. According to Iran's defense industries, the Nasr will be modified, enabling it to be launched from helicopters and submarines. During the 80s, Iran experienced an 8-year war with Iraq under strong arms embargo from the U.S. and Europe. Since then, the government of Iran decided to build its required weapons inside the country, aiming at neutralizing sanctions. Today, Iran is still under arms sanctions, but has made substantial progress in building its own defense capability.
Obviously, countries which are threatened by other countries develop their own defense systems, which is an effective deterrent against possible military attacks, and Iran is no exception.
This is one of the examples that prove sanctions against our defense capability are ineffective. Such actions instead prompt our experts to implement new ideas and build new products.
Iran's vision to continue building up its defense capability aims to secure its borders without having to depend on foreign military support. I'm Mehdi Kazevi, Press TV, Tehran.
Well, the spokesman for the Iranian Foreign Ministry has criticized Canada for what he calls double standard towards human rights issues. Ramin Mahmoud Paras says Canada's vote against the UN-sponsored Goldstone report that accused Israel of war crimes in Gaza characterized Ottawa's contradictory approach. He described Canadian government's boycott of the UN anti-racism conference known as Durban 2 as yet another indication of Canada's support for the Israeli crimes against Palestinians. Mahmoud Paras also referred to Ottawa's vote against a declaration on the rights of the indigenous peoples. He says with such anti-human rights moves, Canada cannot comment on human rights issues. Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. It's time for a quick reminder of the headlines this hour. The United Nations hails Iraq's parliamentary elections as orderly and well-organized. Nigeria put security forces on red alert after more than 100 people are killed in a new outburst of sectarian violence. And reports say Saudi security forces have launched a major crackdown on civil rights activists.